Miquel Puertas, ¿no? O sea, I am a citizen from Barcelona. I was born in Barcelona. And also I was educated in Barcelona, no? I mean, that's it. It's a citizen from Barcelona. I was educated there. My background, let's say that about studies and so on. Well, I study in Barcelona, no? So I have a background. I studied law, no? At the beginning. Later, I have also a degree in business, no? Will be in business administration, let's say, or it's called it, or management. Also later I got also well I mean I have also a master, no? A master in international cooperation, and also in other in public administration. Well, I start to work, no, as a teacher in Spain, no? In Spain, I had in Barcelona, no? Well, I just simply I start to develop my life. You know? I was in Barcelona, and then I was member of an NGO, an organization that was dealing with international projects in the framework of the youth program, Youth in Action program, or Erasmus. I was traveling a bit, let's say. Then, you know, happened, no? You know, a girl, no? Yes, you know, Lithuanian girl, no? And then, well, you know, you fell in love. Sometimes it happened, you know, you fell in
Oh,
love,
yeah.
no? I remember, I was in Narva. Still, I remember Bauge, no? Because I love it, somehow, no? No, still, somehow. We are not together, no? But just simply, I was in Barcelona as a funny guy, no? I was, well, doing my life. But I was traveling quite a lot because I was a member of this NGO and also organizing a kind of international project with young people and so on. And well, I fell in love with a girl that was she was a Lithuanian, but she was living. We met I remember, no, in Narva. Narva is a city that is just beside the Estonian-Russian border. It's a hot place now. Very, very. I mean, this is one. I mean, there is a river there. No, the river Narva is the border between the city, Russian-speaking city. How to say? We speak Russian in Narva, and also in the Russia near the Saint Petersburg, because Saint Petersburg is quite close to this area. I came back to. I just decided to move to Lithuania because I met this girl, no? And then I started to, well, look for a job there, no? Let's say I started to work, no, there in Lithuania for, let's say, you know, 10 years living in Lithuania. I'm working, no? I found a first job there. I remember it was an American university. That is a, well, American Canadian. It's called it LCC, International University, that they are offering. Major in business, and then well, they need a teacher, no? And then well, I was the first Spanish guy because you know all the faculties there were or American from Canada, no? From Canada. It's a charity created this it's a church based charities are the churches some churches. Mennonites. The Mennonites created this business school or business university. It's a university. I spent a wonderful time with them. No? I learned many things from those teachers.
So this is a Mennonite. This is a Mennonite university of Americans and Canadians in
there is an
Lithuania.
American university. It's the first time that I was teaching in Lithuania. You know, tell me. And then for me it was a challenge because I had less experience as a teacher, and it was the first time that I was teaching in English. Well, now I have a strong accent, you know, but in that time my English was not so good. You know, and then, well, for me it was a very challenging, no? I started to teach, you know, introduction to microeconomics, no, in English to people that were from all the Eastern Europe, no, because in this university are teaching in English. Well, they get a lot of in Klaipeda. Klaipeda is just in the Baltic Sea. Just is the main harbor in the Baltic Sea, the most important of them because in this area, no, because it's not frozen. It's not frozen. It's strategic, this one. Never froze, never. All the other harbors now in winter are frozen, but or sometimes are not frozen, but there is, no, that beer. This is the only one that is not frozen, you know. Because there is a river there, and then somehow it's not frozen. The thing is that I was teaching there, no? I started, well, later I found job also in Vilnius, no? It's the capital of Lithuania. And later in Kaunas, because my girlfriend was from Kaunas. Kaunas is in the city, in the center of the. I don't tell you the map, no, because the Americans are not good in geography.
Right.
Yes or no? And then let's say that the main three cities in Lithuania are Vilnius, that is the capital. That is close to the Belarusian, to Belarusian. It's quite close to the Russian Belarusian border. With the Belarusian border, and Belarus is near Poland and Russia. Later, Kaunas is in the center. Kaunas is the historic capital of Lithuania. It's the hardcore nationalism there. Lithuanian nationalism is there.
And that's about dead center in Lithuania. It's
They speak the best Lithuanian, because Lithuania is a very interesting country. You go to Vilnius, everybody speaking there Polish or Belarusian or kind of Russian or Lithuanian as well. But you go to Kaunas, everybody speaks Lithuanian, because the Lithuanian language is strong there. It's the origin of the, let's say, the Lithuanian language, the Lithuanian culture, even the Lithuanian revival. No? And later, Klaipeda. Klaipeda is a fascinating city because it was Memel, times of the, it was Prussia, belonged to the Prussians. The Prussian is a... Prussia is a Germanic tribe, Germanic kingdom, kind of kingdom.
Right.
And then Adolf Hitler even took Memel, entered Memel, took the. It's fascinating this story, and it's a very, this totally different looking to the rest of the cities, no? Even the people look different, no? And then I started my life there. I wasn't involved in politics, I had to say. You know, I was teaching, really very successful, I had to say. Because I had a job there. Well, I had several jobs. I started to work also in companies like a trainer, because I had experience in marketing in Spain previously. And then, I was a trainer, simply teaching, like selling skills. I'm very good in that. I can sell everything. No? So, and this is my life. No, any problem, I got even a guard there several times by the... I get some awards, and I was traveling sometimes even thanks to the university, because I was a lecturer in one of the universities. The last university I was working is Vytautas Magnus University, that is a public university. It's a very good university, one of the best, no, in Lithuania. I had thousands of students there. I mean, during 5 years in this university, I had, I don't know, 3,000 or maybe like this. Really,
wow.
I'm not joking, I'm not kidding. No? That's it. Any problem? Also, I was teaching in a high school, yeah, because I'm Spanish. Well, I start to more or less speak Lithuanian. Enough for communicating myself. Lithuanian language is extremely difficult, I have to say. I have not anything to do with the Spanish language or English or anything else. You are living there, you start to learn Lithuanian. No? And I start to also teach Spanish. Spanish is very popular everywhere. No? Fun job. It's good. Money in the pocket, no? Let's say. No?
Yeah, yeah.
I had my apartment, you know, in a cozy area that I love very much, close to the lake of Kaunas. I have a wonderful lake there. I found another girlfriend. No? Well, actually, I had many girlfriends there, no? I have to say, it's true. In those 10 years...
Well, you're from Barcelona.
Let's say, you know, it's normal. Well, there, I was 10 years younger, no? A guy with money, some money in the pocket. In Lithuania, no? You understand, you?
Yes.
Girls are nice girls there, no? Women are coming, and it's like this, no? But the thing is that, you know, somehow things changed very much, especially in 2013, no? Because I participated in a project, no? In Odessa. I went to Odessa in a project funded by European Union. I went as a trainer there. No? It's a project, I was a trainer. In the past in Barcelona, also I was doing this kind of thing, project funded by European Union with young people. I was there participating. It was a wonderful experience in Odessa, I have to say. I mean, wonderful city, 15 days there. No? It was in 2013, at the end of August, beginning of September. The thing is that I came back to Lithuania. And later, let's say the friends, I knew some people from Lviv. Lviv is the nationalist, Ukrainian nationalists are there. And the more radical Ukrainian nationalists are there. And in November, it was in Halloween, I went to Lviv. I never visited before Lviv. It's a beautiful city, I have to say. and it's the core of the Ukrainian nationalists. Well, nobody was speak about the Maidan, because the Maidan didn't start it. I am mine. I go there. You know? This guy, I take my bus from Kaunas, cross Kaunas, Poland, Ukraine, 12 hours. But and then I enjoy my visit in Lviv. I have to say, beautiful city. All city. The people there speak not really Ukrainian. It's a kind of dialect of the Ukrainian and Polish.
It's right next to the Polish border. It's right. It's like right.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
right,
yeah. Over. It's in the border with Poland. No, belonged to the Poland and also to the former Hungarian Empire or Austro-Hungarian Empire. No? Right. I saw already the origin of the Maidan was there already. I arrived in Halloween. I spent there 1 week or something. I came back to Lithuania to teach again. I just saw visit. I spent like a 6 days for kind of holidays, because it was the Halloween. And then I saw the first the group of far right extremists there. Concentrated and collecting signatures against Yanukovych. Well, I didn't find any. Well, those guys are doing that, but anything. No. I came back to Lithuania. The thing is that in November, also came after 2 weeks. I came back to Lithuania. Yanukovych came to Lithuania as well. President Yanukovych from Ukraine.
Right.
And then he met the president of Lithuania. Dalia Grybauskaitė and also Angela Merkel. It was a summit in Vilnius organized by the European Union. And the leaders of the European Union, I mean, especially Merkel and also, the president of Lithuania, Dalia Grybauskaitė, dealing with Yanukovych because they wanted that Yanukovych to sign an agreement with them. With the European Union, a trade agreement. But the Yanukovych, he was the president, elected president, and also he considered that this agreement was not good for the Ukrainian economy, because it was an agreement that forced him to raise taxes and also the price should open the market, the Lithuanian, the Ukrainian market, to products coming from Europe. You understand me? Right. And many industries here in Ukraine will be really destroyed because they cannot compete with European products. No?
Right.
The thing is that Yanukovych said, I don't want to sign this agreement. It's not good for Ukraine. And also the Rada, the parliament, also say the same. No, don't. Yanukovych had the in the Rada the majority of the deputies were part of his party.
Right,
his
party of regions.
The party of the regions is called the party of the regions.
Okay.
Now we'll leave. And then, everybody knows what happened after that. Everybody knows how started everything. No, it was a concentration of. In Vilnius came already people protesting. The Femen, I saw a couple of girls coming from Ukraine, Femen, showing the bobs. They opened against Yanukovych. And also I saw a group of idiots, sorry, but I know some of them because personally, I saw this guy is there. So this has to be terrible. I was there in Kaunas, no? Watching the protest against Yanukovych. Well, it was kind of funny. Well, I saw that a group of extremists, Lithuanian extremists, far-right elements of the Lithuanian society. I know them because in Lithuania there are many also proto-fascists or something like this, protesting against Yanukovych. Those guys are very pro-European, but they are not pro-European. Those guys are actually anti-Russian.
Right.
Anti-Russian. You are not pro-European, guys. Right. You are an anti-Russian.
Right.
And you are using the European Union for provoking a war, because it's the thing that you want. The many here in Eastern Europe, they want revenge. You know, the revenge. I don't know what is said for what, but revenge about what? Because if many of them even they don't know their own history. Many Lithuanian nationalists, they don't know their own history.
Well, many Americans, it's true of Americans,
too. I can tell you that I have learned more Lithuanian history than many professors that are teaching their crap. You know, because, they are teaching propaganda. You know, myself, look, I have a PhD studies on international relations and also European Union. It's a program, no? That I am. I am in the thesis. I have the thesis. The thesis should be defended, no? But Leon finished still because I start to have some political problems. My political problems started when I used my Facebook. I had a Facebook. My Facebook was just simply for putting pictures. And, you know, I was traveling, I was teacher. Well, I had some people following me, you know, I mean, some friends, but not too much. You know? I mean, but I started to understand that something terrible was happening, that the situation in Lithuania changed very much. The state-controlled media started to put propaganda, radical propaganda, war propaganda. You know, 24 hours, 7 days. Wow. All the time, you know, first supporting the coup. They call them revolution. What the fucking thing? Why we had to support revolutions? I mean, why the European Union has to support revolution? In the, the revolution of what? I mean, the European Union should focus, first of all, on promoting, fair elections and also democracy, no? And democracy means that you should respect a country, the president, and their political process. Yanukovych was not a dictator. The problem is that Yanukovych was not a dictator. The European Union and the OSCE recognized him as a legal. I mean, was elected.
That's right.
And then corrupted. Yes, the corruption in Ukraine always has been corruption here. Before Yanukovych as well, the people don't remember that. I mean,
that's right.
The Ukraine became independent after the collapse of the Soviet Union. Ukraine is independent country. It's independent after the collapse of the Soviet Union. The Russia has not anything to do here. I mean,
right.
No, we want to be independent of Russia. You are an idiot, guy. You are independent since the year 91. You understand me?
Yes.
I mean, the 91, 92, I mean, you collapsed. The collapse of the Soviet Union, and well, Ukraine is an independent country.
Yep.
It's an independent country. And the problems they have Ukraine are because the Ukrainian people. And the problem they have the Lithuanians are not because Putin, it's because the Lithuanian elite, the Lithuanian elite is ruling Lithuania.
Right.
The Ukrainian oligarchy, the oligarchs are ruling Ukraine, you know, and they don't blame other country for that. This is fascinating. I mean, all the problems we have Lithuania is because Putin, but Putin never has been ruler of Lithuania.
Right.
I mean, he never was a president of Lithuania. The president of Lithuania are Lithuanian people. And the rulers of Lithuania are Lithuanian people. I mean, so why are you blaming Russia for your problems?
Right. And it doesn't matter when
you blame other for the problems you generated. This is a technique. It's a technique. You understand me? Even Adolf Hitler was using this technique. I blame the Jews for the problem that I generated. You understand me? The problem of elite. The elite, the oligarchy, the oligarchy, exists oligarchy also in the oligarchy, use the concept oligarchy in the concept of Marxist concept. I mean, the ruling class. The ruling class is, the problems generated in Lithuania are because the Lithuanian people, the ruling class. And then the ruling class simply blame Russia for all the problems they generated. You understand?
Right.
And the same happened with the Ukrainians. I mean, the Ukrainians, you are blaming Russia for the problem you generated. And the fascinating thing is this revolution was, you know, terrible. It's not a revolution. I mean, it was a revolution. It's true that it was a popular movement, but in the core of this revolution, of the minor, were the far-right elements. Far-right element of Leaf. They came from Leaf. People with sticks, with weapons. Later came John McCain. You saw John McCain there, and when I saw John McCain, I start to block me.
Right. Yeah.
I understand, you know, this hashhole, you know, sorry, but I had to block. I had to write about that, you know, because John McCain is coming to other country to give speeches, to call for the revolution. What the fuck is the... Why John McCain can do that? Why he has right to go there? To attack the parliament? To try to kill Yanukovych, president of Ukraine? This is ingerency. You are not respecting the sovereignty of other country.
Absolutely.
You are calling for burning the parliament. I mean, George McCain was there supporting the people that were trying to enter into the Rada. Sorry, but you cannot do that, guy. You represent the United States. This is ingerency, and this is real ingerency. There's a lot of videos. He was there with other senator. Right. I don't remember the name of the senator. So the intervention of the United States was clear. It was, I mean, this revolution was backed, funded even by the United States and George Soros. George Soros recognized it in an interview in CNN that yes, that his network, he was very proud, he said, that my NGOs there in Ukraine, he has a lot of NGOs, have been very important in this key, has been essential in the Maidan. I was a CPL teacher. Then in Lithuania, I started to blogging. The problem is that it became very popular, let's say.
Yeah.
So popular that at the end, the security services, the KGB, the Lithuanian KGB, because it exists, Lithuania is ruled by the KGB. The same people that were member of the KGB in times of the Soviet Union, like Dalia Grybauskaitė, the president of Lithuania, and the leaders of the BSD. The BSD is the security services, on the top, the leaders, the people that are there, they were all of them members of the KGB. So those people, the rulers of Lithuania, and not only that, the oligarchy, it means the owners of the main companies in Lithuania, all of them were or apparatchiks, members of the Communist Party or members of the KGB. Right. This is the thing that is happening in Lithuania, and not only in Lithuania. In many Eastern European countries, this is a fact. I mean, you right. analyze the history of the leaders, of the people, important people. You see many members of the former apparatchiks, people without any ideology, because they were not communists in the past, and now they are not democrats either. They don't believe in democracy. Those guys are all the time the apparatchiks, Soviet apparatchiks, also members of the KGB. Those guys, some of them, yes, they have some kind of ideas or some ideas, no? But the people, I can assure you that here in Eastern Europe, those guys are still there. And they occupy good position in the administration, in the judicial system, in the police, in the security services. And in Lithuania, the KGB exists. And they are using the same techniques for ruling the country. What they are doing, basically controlling the dissidents, the dissenters. They control the dissenters, creating blacklists of dissenters, monitoring them, what they are doing. And later, sending messages to the employers. If you are a blogger, it happened not only with me, but also with other professors, Lithuanian, because I am not Lithuanian, I am able to speak Lithuanian more or less, but I am not a Lithuanian. Usually I was posting in English, but other Lithuanian activists, anti-war activists, anti-Maidan, anti-Poroshenko, anti-NATO, those guys have been hunted by the BSD. It was an operation in, I remember still, the media don't know anything, but I have a blog I wrote about that, an operation conducted by the security services, Lithuanian security services, looking for Little Green Men, the Little Green Men of Putin. The Little Green Men of Putin were people that were posting on Facebook that Poroshenko was a household. You understand me? Those were, and yeah. They were Lithuanian. Or, like me, they hunted me as well. What is it? Hunted, they found me. No, I was using a nickname. They understood that who were. I was forced to change my name in Facebook because they reported the Facebook, they forced me to change. Okay. So, any problem, I am Miquel Puertas. And then those guys understood that he was working there in this university, in this public university. They contacted the rector contacted me. They told me that I had to close the Facebook account and should stop to write. And I told them, you know, sorry, I don't want to do that because I am a teacher here. I am not speaking about politics. That's true. I wasn't speaking politics. I didn't have any problem. You know, for 3 years, in this university, in Vytautas Mažvydas University, I got the AGUAR. The AGUAR, the best sense of humor teacher. The teacher with best sense of humor. You know, it's an Oscar, kind of Oscar. There are a ceremony now in March, February, March, where the students give you an Oscar. A very nice ceremony. Mm. And then usually the best teachers are there, no? And then usually I was taking three times, no? The Oscar to the best sense of humor teacher, and also nominated two times, nominated as a best foreign teacher, because in this university there are several foreigners. You know, for me it was an honor, no? Because it means that your students love you, no? Because I mean, the students give you Oscar. Eh? I mean, it means that you are doing your job. I was doing my job, but look, what a funny. You know, I got the Oscar. I remember still. I have the picture, even the video. I got the Oscar or the best teacher or the best sense of humor teacher, and also nominated as a best teacher in the university. And 2 weeks later, I am kicked out of the university.
Wow.
You understand me? Oh. And then pay attention. I am kicked out, not directly, just simply they told me that my contract will not be renovated. Because, of course, it was in March. I was in the middle of the semester. They could not do so nasty, you know, in the middle of the semester. That we had a student, like, they cannot move. It was terrible for them. We were taking this teacher and they kick out. And also, of course, after they do that, they had to pay me more money before doing that. So, just simply, they didn't renovate me the contract in June. And later, I start to appear in the media, in the national media. Not local media, in the main newspaper in Lithuania, the Lietuvo Rytas, first page, second page. Professor in Vytautas Magnus University is a pro-terrorist, is a terrorist apparatus, supporting the terrorists in Donbass, agent of Putin. Something terrible. They didn't even give me the right to speak, not like you. You contact me, I give you my point of view. You know, 4, 5, 6, 7 times in different in media, in important media, including the television. I appear there, speaking about me. Those guys don't have any decency as a journalist. This is the way they are doing. They are criminalizing the dissenters. They are doing the same. No, they did with me and also with other Lithuanians. I mean, in Lithuania is amazing. If you don't share the point of view of Grybauskaitė, that you appear in the television and they start, you start to be a criminal there. The people, you know, later don't want to speak with you. The people start to feel fear. Yeah. You are rejected by the Lithuanian society because you are a black sheep. You understand me? Yeah. Lithuanians are peasants, have the peasant psychology, you know? And they don't. They are people of order. And then you are breaking the order there, you know, the people of order, people that are really, and they don't want to look for problems, and they find you that you are problematic. Yes, maybe you are not problematic, because I am not problematic. Person, just simply what I was doing, posting on Facebook,
right.
Well, you see, the thing that I am doing now. So this is me. And the fascinating thing is that I never, and all my students know perfectly, some students were really, they wrote me letters, say, Miguel, we support you. You are a good professional. You are an amazing teacher, because I was getting awards, you know, by the own students. The own students were giving me the awards. So, I cannot tolerate that the president of Lithuania tell me what I had to think. You understand me? Because she's a member, she was educated in the KGB and was educated in a very democratic school in Barcelona. Do you understand me? Where Everybody respect your point of view. I don't mind what you are speaking about. If I don't like what you are writing on Facebook, don't read what you are reading. I mean, nobody forced you to read that. You understand me?
It's fascinating.
But those Lithuanian, I call them retards, because they are retards. They have this totalitarian mindset, totalitarian way of thinking.
Right.
They cannot tolerate that a person don't think like them. And then it's true. I mean, you are living in Lithuania, you have to think like President Grybauskaitė. She's the dictator, and you have to follow the dictator. They don't have tradition in Lithuania of democratic rulers, you know? Mm-hmm. Never.
Yeah.
It's a very young country without really problem of identity, even. Because I told you that you go to Vilnius, you look like you are in different countries with different languages. There is a problem of even identity.
Yeah.
So myself, for 1 year, well, I got four kind of insults, threats. The BSD even was controlling me. Not only that, look what this nasty situation. No? because even they were even contacting friends of mine. I was invited to a party, I remember, no? And then, well, I was invited to a party. The person that invited me was a kind of politician in a small town. In a small town, he was my friend. Hey, Miguel, just come to my birthday party. He was a politician, he's a member of the council, of the municipality. Well, 2 days later, members of the BSD told him, and they told him, why you invited this guy to your birthday party? Because you will have a lot of problems if you continue meeting this guy. You understand me?
Yeah.
Because you can imagine what, and not only that, they are so miserable people that this is just that one of my girlfriends, former girlfriends, no? She was not contacted directly. The BSD contacted the mama of my ex-girlfriend, that she was working in a municipality, and then they contacted the mama. Not directly my ex-girlfriend, because she was my ex already. Just telling her that her daughter should not meet me, because if not, she will have problems in the municipality and she will lose the job. Yes, I mean, if you continue meeting this guy, because sometimes we were meeting, but without we didn't have a relationship. We were just simply friends. But the BSD consider that it cannot be. And they start to do that with all my friends, contacting them, no contact, you know. Later, the Lithuanian state, the Lithuanian security services created and trained even. They are trained. They say even, they appear in the television. They say they are very proud about that. They are amazingly proud. They created a network, several networks of trolls. People are working for the security services, analyzing what are you doing? And also, they have several groups in Facebook, and where they are reporting all the profiles, Lithuanian activists, all the profiles that are not, they are suspicious, because you do a like, you like a picture of Putin, boom. And then those guys, they notice that you like the picture of Putin, so, and she's working in a library in this town, let's call to the boss, no? Hey, you have a person that like Putin, so kick out from the job. You understand what they are doing?
Yeah.
They are, other professors the same. The two professors were removed from their position. One of them is a professor of philosophy, 30 years working. This man is not like me. He has a lot of books, a lot of articles. He's not a blogger. He's a guy sciences. I am more like I am kind of. Adventurous. I am becoming, I don't know what exactly I am, no? But this man is a science, hard philosopher.
Right.
Hard philosopher, many years working in Vilnius University, is the biggest, the most prestigious, you know? And then we start to be friends, we became friends because she was kicked out, removed, just because he said something about against the president of Libertati and against Poroshenko and against the Maida in his Facebook. Sometimes he's writing something in his Facebook. We cannot tolerate that this man is a professor that is very prestigious because he's an intellectual. He wrote a lot of books there. Algirdas is called it. Algirdas de Gutis was removed just because, it cannot be. It cannot be that this is not a patriot, he's not a patriot. What do you just think of it? And, you know, he told me, look, Miguel, when I was young student of philosophy, I was also jailed in times of KGB. No? Say, right. The same people that jailed me when I was a student are now here in the power.
I mean, this is exactly. Let me interrupt for a second. Hang on for a second. Hold on. Let me interrupt.
It's very fascinating that this story of Algirdas de Gutis. One day, I should speak. He speaks very good English, I have to say.
Yeah.
I appreciate very much this man. He's a very brave man. He stand up for his right to speak. He said, you know, I don't want to change my point of view. And then this man told me that I was jailed, no, in times of KGB because my opposition, no, to the anti-democratic totalitarian state of Soviet Union, in times of Soviet Union, and the same people that jailed me are now here again. They again are doing the same. They cannot jail me, but look what they are doing.
This is what's interesting about this is the way it's portrayed here. That's what they allege is what's going on in Russia, that you Putin was KGB, that the oligarchs, you know, Russia's run by oligarchs who used to be the apparatchiks in Russia, et cetera, et cetera. But you're describing exactly that fact pattern in Lithuania.
It's, well, it's fascinating. You know why? Because this is in all Eastern Europe. I mean, this is you don't know the society. You go to like a tourist. You go to Lithuania as a tourist. It's funny. Oh, cheap beer, girls. No, have nice legs there. Girl, you know, girls with very long legs there. No, very cool. No, you don't mind. Ah, you are enjoying. You have money in the pocket. Enjoy life. But you live there, right, and you start to be concerned about. And you start the language. This is the other barrier that have foreigners. Foreigners don't mind what politics. When they go to Lithuania, they just simply for looking for girls and drinking beer. That's it. But you start to be concerned about what, because you start to love the country, like me.
Right, right.
You start to love the people, right, and you start to be concerned about those people. No?
Yeah.
At the beginning, I had a life of tourists and also foreigner, typical expatriate. No? The expatriates in Eastern Europe are everywhere the same. You are right there to Latvia. Latvia the same. I have been in Latvia. It's more or less the same. Eh? It's also KGB style. It's the same thing. And the same in Estonia. It's exactly the same. Eh? It's like you go like a tourist or expatriate. Well, you are really not living inside of this society. You know, I don't mind. Right. You don't want to. You want problems with that. The Russians are bad. No, there is a repression. It's a political repression. There is an oligarchy there. No, and the same happened here in Ukraine. The same, exactly the same. I mean, you are portraying Russia. Probably is the same, but the same is in all Eastern Europe. No, that also part of the NATO. Why you don't fix those problems in Lithuania? Nobody speak about the oligarchy in Lithuania. Nobody speak about the repression, the authoritarian rule of the president of the country, the KGB system. I mean, this BSD. The BSD is doing that. They are kicking out teachers from the university. Not only that, creating blacklists of people that cannot find job there. They enter at home without judicial intervention. I mean, they have the right to go inside your home without judicial intervention, without any judge to say what to, without authorization, previous authorization. And then they took even, I remember, no, entering in the house of a celebrity. She's a girl, she's a woman, but she's pretty famous in Lithuania, Milda Bartasunaite. Milda Bartasunaite is a woman, is a girl, actually, young, no, woman. Yeah. That she's a kind of hoster, a television hoster, and she's very popular because she's a dancer. She's dancing, you know, it's a kind of, she's very good looking, let's say very good looking, no, she's a kind of model, no? And she never was speaking about politics, neither, no? Because she has a typical celebrity right, in the television, no? Working for the national television. But she started to write against NATO, also against Poroshenko, against Maidan. And then the police entered at home, in her home, looking for a laptop. They took the laptop and also the phone, the iPhone. I think she had an iPhone, I know, a smartphone, and documents, looking for some. Because the media say that she was paid by Putin. She was paid by Putin. I mean, Putin was paid. I don't know. You know what they are doing that, but this is a Lithuanian. It's a Lithuanian. She was working in the national television. She's a person that, yeah, well, simply a kind of celebrity. She's dancer, good looking all the time with mini skirts. You know, sorry. That is true. Milda Bartasunaite. Wow. And she became the public enemy number one.
Mm.
Public enemy. She's a bitch. Now, no. Years ago, she was on a beach. Now, she's a bitch. It's a bitch all the time. The bitch, you know, it's kind of a bitch, a terrible woman. What a terrible woman? She is the same. She's good looking, but she has brain. Ah, okay. The problem of this good looking girl is that she has brain. And many other good looking girls in Lithuania, they don't have brain. Only pussy. The difference between Milda Bartasunaite, she's a wonderful, wonderful woman, very good looking. Well, one day I had to show you even the. She speaks English. I had to send you the link. You can interview her. It's very interesting. You know, for you.
Yeah.
I can even introduce. There is a group of Lithuanian activists, women or girls, very good looking. I had to say very good looking. I mean, but they have brain. Ah, they are not so stupid. They're not stupid.
Right.
And they understand that the first victim of the Maidan in Lithuania was the freedom of speech and thought. The freedom of speech has been the first victim in Lithuania and in many countries around the world. It's a kind of neo-McCarthyism. You understand me?
Yeah.
If you say what you are thinking, you are working for Putin. Right. If you say that the miner was a coup, you are working for Putin. If you say that this is those guys are far-right extremists that are killing people, are bombing here a city, and they are committing atrocities, you are an agent of Putin. Yeah. You are a Russian, you are brainwashed by Putin. Because even I saw that Donald Trump, for instance, he's under the control. I saw the other day this idiot, Edvard Lucas, editor, chief editor, I think, of The Economist. Do you know him?
Yes.
Edvard Lucas. Edvard Lucas is very famous because he's the chief working in The Economist. Well, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something that for you is amazing. What I want to tell you. This man was the first man that came to Lithuania after the collapse of Soviet Union with the passport, the first visa, number one. He was the first one arrived. He is very prestigious in Lithuania. He usually is coming several times to Lithuania. And Edvard Lucas, awarded with the Doctor Honoris Causa by Vytautas Magnus University, my university, where I was working. They invited me to go there, but I declined to go. You understand me? Because I don't go to meet households and people right. that are telling lies, like Edvard Lucas, that is a warmonger. And he say, I saw recently in the BBC in an interview, it was like 1 week ago, he said that Putin is a KGB trained person. No? I mean, was trained by KGB in mental techniques, and that he is controlling mentally Donald Trump. And he was saying that in the BBC. I mean, he has the power to control Donald Trump because he's using some kind of techniques. This interview is in the BBC. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, how is possible Putin is calling him or doing some kind of mental control of Donald Trump? This kind of things, you know, it's incredible. How journalists or can be so nasty.
Yeah. I mean, that's the same thing here in the United States, by the way. If you didn't vote for Hillary Clinton, you work for Putin.
Yeah, exactly. And we, look, myself, I am not really a lover or a supporter, you know, a fan or hooligan of Donald Trump. But because I am a leftist. I am a leftist.
Me too,
a leftist from Spain. Typical traditional leftist from Spain, from Barcelona. We are many of us. Leftists, okay. Many leftists in Spain are they don't know what they are speaking about. But in general, many leftists in Spain we don't support. We didn't like very much Obama, or we don't like at all Clinton. And then, my analysis is the following one: in these last elections, it was two options: or Donald Trump or Satanás. Satan.
Right.
Well, you have to choose between Donald Trump or Satan. You know, you don't have more option. So sorry. Or maybe even worse, you can choose Satan or Hillary Clinton. You know, you have Satan, Satanás.
Right.
Hillary Clinton. I will vote for Satan because he's more reliable. You know?
Right. So let's get you
Satan is more reliable. And more reliable, you know him already. You understand me?
Yes.
Hillary Clinton, you two options. You have only two options. Satan for president of the United States or Hillary Clinton. Satan is more reliable. You know, really. I am more, like a more cozy even. No?
Right.
So that's it. That's it. Because the other option was the war. Was the nuclear war. World War III. This is the plan of the neocons.
That's right.
Okay. And you have this the neocons that are very esteem, very powerful here. The problem of Trump, he has only, I think, three weeks now in the power, is that he has no control anything still here in Eastern Europe. They have here all the for many years, they created here, they have a lot of, the neocons, also Soros have their NGOs, the in the administration, in the different leaders, the leaders of the Baltic states, of those countries, Poland, the thing that they have in Ukraine, no? I mean, they created a structure there, no? Donald Trump doesn't control, have any control of that, no? Have any control, no? I am living in Donetsk, that now has been bombed, is bombed, heavily with Tosca U, Donetsk is full of people. It's a city with around 1 million, and also in all the area, because the metropolitan area, let's say, is around all the area controlled by the anti-fascist people, because who consider all of us anti-fascists. Not pro-Russian, because we are not pro-Russian. We are not. We are pro-European. Pro-European means respecting some values. And one of the values is the right of decide your future without imposition by anybody from abroad. Okay. And here the people don't accept the result of the Maidan. It was in all the south of the people don't know anything in the United States, but they have to understand that Ukraine is a plurinational country where several languages are spoken and several all kind of ethnicities. Here are kind of people, even in the Donetsk area. I have spoken many languages here. It's fascinating. And then it's not an homogeneous country. And then in the Maidan, after the coup they removed the President Yanukovych, a group of oligarchs and also pure mafia, and also far-right elements of the Ukrainian society are in Kiev now. After the coup. And those guys start to attack, kill, first of all, the massacre in Odessa, they killed more than 100 people, bar alive, in the trade union building in Odessa. I have been in Odessa, the trade union buildings in the center of Odessa, they were bar alive because they were protesting against the Maidan. They were citizens from Ukraine, that they start to protest. And hooligans and elements of the far right battalions came there and they killed them. They killed them very cruelly. Burned alive inside. Okay? With the support of the United States, simply they don't say anything. Or even they say that those guys were not Ukrainian. They were Ukrainian, all of them. All of the people who were killed there were Ukrainian with a passport.
Yep. Yep.
They were thinking in a different way. They were supporting Yanukovych, President Yanukovych, that was removed by a violent coup.
Well, they voted for him. They elected him.
Yeah. Elected. Yanukovych is a person that is coming from Donetsk himself.
Right.
He is from a city called Gorlivka that is here beside Donetsk that is bombed as well. It's controlled by the anti-Maidan authorities. I call that because it's the most correct way. Pro-Russian separatists, this is a bullshit created by the Western media. Here, they are not even, many of them are, they don't consider themselves pro-Russian, actually. They just simply are anti-Maidan. Anti-Maidan. Here there are many people from Kiev or other cities of Ukraine that came here looking for refugee. I mean, they are refugees. The people don't know that, but here there are a lot of. I have met many people from Kiev or from other cities from Ukraine. They fled. They fled there. They came here because they prefer living here in this condition than living with those fascists, with those crazy men. I have been in Kiev 1 year ago. Still, I was in Lithuania, and I was invited. I was not. One company from Spain sent me to pay attention to Kiev. And last year I was in Kiev. It was in 2015. Yes, sorry, in 2015. In October 2015, I visited Kiev for 1 week, and I was in the Maidan. That already in October of 2015, I was not working anymore in the university, but still I was living in Lithuania. I had some money, so I decided to spend some time there, still 1 year or more, resisting there, writing. I still had some kind of job there. And then I went to Kiev and I got some money for that, no? And I saw with my eyes what is the Maidan. I saw in Kiev those far-right people with sticks, with weapons. They go to supermarket. No? You go to supermarket, boom, you appear those guys with a stick and the masks. No? Roaming the streets. No? The power in Ukraine is not in the hands even of Poroshenko, but in the hands of those. Many of them are asocials. You know, are asocial. It's the sense that this is the technique of the fascists, like this. You give people that are people without job or let's say, a social, people that are lumpen proletariat. Marx speak about that, the role of the lumpen proletariat. What they are doing, the lumpen? A lumpen is the low level of society, marginals. Many of them are marginals, right. Drug addicts even. You give them a weapon and an authority and money, and some few money, and it's full of them. Right. The Maidan is full of this kind of people. People, that, when they took the power, the first thing that they did is Poroshenko signed a decree opening the jails and all the criminals that wanted to join the militias, the far-right militias, the battalions, they were they opened the jail for them. I mean, thousands of them joined the militias, criminals, people that were convicted criminals for crimes, or stealing, people that were robbing, or rapists as well, out of the jail. You join, you had to fight for Ukraine. You fight for Ukraine, they sign a document, and they go out of the jails. So it's full of criminals. This is the thing that happened, you know. I saw with my eyes, you go to the center of Kiev, it looks more or less normal, the city. But you go to the outskirts and you will notice. You will notice the violence there. You go to other small towns, the small towns in Ukraine are controlled by mafia and by those battalions that are people with masks, people dressed with a kind of military thing. They can buy in the supermarket. I mean, you can find everybody. No, it's fascinating. Everybody in Ukraine now is wearing this kind of like a militar, no? And you put a mask and a stick, no? And you are here. Who is the boss here? Me. And now I am here, the boss of this town. Okay? You have a group of 5-10 guys with masks, and you start to shout this kind of "Slav Ukrania!" That means "Good life, Ukraine!" You are a retard guy. You are a people with. You are a person with even with any education. You don't know what they're speaking about. Yeah. Ukraine. You say orangutan, you know? So orangutans with the sticks, no?
Like brown shirts, like the brown shirts in Germany.
Mainly, yeah. This is the forces of Poroshenko are that orangutans with the sticks that are the coming from the lower level of the low level of the society, and also poor guys that have been forced to be enrolled in the army, you know? That they are forced there because and it's so terrible that look what you are doing. Probably your audience don't know, but you know, the army are conscripted soldiers. You know, so they are taking in the university, go to the university, they force them to go to the army. And later when they go to the front line to fight against the Donetsk and Lugansk militias, they cannot go. They are not very motivated. They don't have motivation to fight against them. You understand me? They are not motivated, right? Because they go to other place to kill people, and they don't feel motivation. And sometimes they want to retreat, but they cannot retreat because if they retreat, they find behind the far right battalions shooting them.
Wow!
The people don't know that, but the soldiers, conscripted soldiers, young students from Ukraine. They go to the university, to the schools, let's go to the army. And then the moms, there's even a lot of protests. They don't want you imagine, you know, you have a young guy, you are the mama, and he's forced to go to fight against the Donbass militias. You know, this is, you know, now they have very bad reputation because you appear in the television, those separatists are terrible, no?
Right.
I want to tell you, the separatists, I know many members of the DNR army, they are not terrible. They are moderate rebels. They are the really moderate rebels. They are not only moderate rebels. I call them the cool rebels. The cool rebels of Donbass. The moderate rebels are in Syria. No?
Right.
in Syria are called moderate rebels. Why those rebels are not called moderate? Because they really are moderate rebels. I can tell you. They invite you to drink beers.
Right, they're self-defense forces.
Or to have
right?
lunch. I mean, I know many of them because I know Americans, rebels here. I know people, rebels from New Zealand, from Spain, from France, from Italy, rebels. You know, there had to be how many foreigners from Western countries had to be I have met here? It looks like there had to be around 3,000 or more.
Wow.
You understand me? Wow. People are coming from many countries, like in Spain. Well, we have even a group here. And I can tell you that the Spanish, we are not bad people. You know, we are lefties. Lefties went here to fight those retards, and that's it. Me, I came here just because the rector of, I am working here in the Donetsk National Technical University, that is the biggest university and the oldest university in the Donbass. I was invited to come here because they were following my blog. See here, people from Donetsk. And the director, one of the vice-rectors just contacted me, International Relations, and told me, yo, Miguel, leave Lithuania because you are having a very terrible time, and with us you can do a wonderful job, no, or work with students, and also I am working also in international projects, try to to develop international projects for this university. Well, tomorrow I start the spring semester. It's the first tomorrow I have to my first lecture, no, on argumentation. This semester has two. No, one is international commerce, another is polemics. Polemics and argumentation in the Faculty of Economy and Management. No? And then, well, I have a student, normal student. I mean, from here. I mean, they speak English. They put me. And then I also created here. I come for that. I was the guy that had the idea and wrote the project. El Centro Cervantes, no? El Centro Cervantes, Cervantes Centro is a cultural center that is backed or funded by the Donetsk National Technical University. And we are a group of 30 people. Many of us are Latinos that they were living here already, yeah? Because in this university, Donetsk is a city with a lot of foreigners that came in times of Soviet Union, and they decide to live here. I know a Colombian guy that he's living here for 30 years. Wow. He's an owner of a company, Luis. And I know a guy from Panama, also living here, a very good dancer of salsa. No? The guy from Panama, living here because he arrived here to study, and he decided to. There are many foreigners here, a lot of people open-minded, I have to say. People don't know, but I find the people from Donetsk pretty open-minded people. I mean, in comparison with the Lithuanians, I do say, in comparison even the students, in comparison with the Lithuanians, because I tell you, open-minded people, you know, I mean, really, this area are kind of, you know, there's a lot of industry. It was the wealthier region in all Ukraine. This is the problem. Here, always has, this is the biggest problem. Here. It's very industrial. I mean, it's very. There's a lot of technology here. They managed to create the city of Donetsk. You go to the center; it's beautiful, renovated, new. They had the most modern airport in Eastern Europe. Here in Donetsk airport, the famous Donetsk airport was the most modern airport in all Western Europe, Eastern Europe. Well, it was made thanks to Yanukovych. Yanukovych, of course, is a guy from Donetsk, and this is one of the things that maybe provoked this conflict. He invested a lot in this region, in the Donbass. You understand me? But Yanukovych is a wonderful guy. He's an oligarch, but he's our oligarch. You understand me? Yeah. Yanukovych is our oligarch, and he is simply the people voted for him. So that's it. And then, it's a modern city with a high standard of living standard here in comparison with Ukraine. This is one of the problems, because in Ukraine was poor in the western area near Poland. It's only you go to live at Lviv. There is anything there? Only cows around. It's a kind of they are growing potatoes, and then in this industrial area, very well developed, I say, with good infrastructures. People was using this airport; they could travel everywhere. You understand, you know? And then all the business here is selling products, steel, because they are producing a lot of steel and machinery, heavy machinery, to Russia. Russia is buying the steel, because historically, this city is very fascinating because it was created by in 19th century by an engineer from Britain, John Hughes. John Hughes was an engineer. He came here in 19th century, and he asked authorization to the Tsar to create for creating here a miners' colony, a colony of miners, and he started and he opened a steel factory. And he founded Donetsk. This area is very rich in minerals. And also, it's very, very rich, very, very rich area of minerals and carbon. Have a lot of anthracite. And coal, all kind of coal here, all kind of. I'm not an expert on that, but it's like this. And then, well, this area was developed very fast because the industry. Later in Soviet Union, well, the same. This is became the central, one of the main areas, the heart of the heavy industry of the Soviet Union. They were producing steel for the tanks, no, the tanks of Soviet tanks. Were produced here. All the that's it. I mean, it's idea was all the time have been producing steel, and now steel is doing the same. I mean, the factories here producing coal and steel. The coal is fascinating. They are selling steel. I mean, the oligarchs still are controlling the city, and also the other side. And the steel, the coal that is producing the Donbass is sold in Kiev. I mean, they go to the trains, they cross the border. Oh, money is money, you know what I mean? And then, even those revolutionaries, because somehow they try to be revolutionary, the rebels, Donbass rebels, well, they have the authorities, let's say, we are a bit, you know, patriots, revolutionaries. No, they have a very revolutionary looking, no? But later they are revolutionaries. Those guys are also interested in money, I have to say, because the business here is not stopped. And not only that, I will tell you one thing. The war is not hitting, never, the properties of the oligarchs. Or the factories. The factories of the big oligarchs are respected. Any bomb there. You know, stop it. But look, the rebels, the so-called rebels, they don't attack those factories. They don't take them. You know, stop it, you know? Right. And the other side, also, they don't target those factories because, you know, they pay our salary. You know, stop it.
Right.
That's it. That's fascinating. I am learning many things also about those rebels. But the rebels here, really, those Russian separatist terrible rebels, they are not terrible. They are quite cool, actually. And they are not really very rebels. I mean, it's just simply they don't want to be ruled by the Maidan. They don't want to be bombed, and they don't want to be steal, because they came here, many battalions, to kill people here and to steal properties and to steal and rape. It's true, there have many raping girls here, and they didn't want to, they wanted to impose their language, the Ukrainian language in this area. Nobody speak here Ukrainian. Well, there are some people that speak Ukrainian, but they prefer communicating in Russian language because it's the language of this region historically.
Right.
How you are going to force to, you know, in my university they told me, look, those guys took the power and we got a law instruction order that give lectures all of us in Ukraine. But you know, Miguel, we don't speak Ukraine. Ukrainian language. Right. I mean, how are we going to do that? And the students, they don't understand. I mean, we some of us, or the teachers, some of them speak kind of Ukrainian language, but the fascinating thing is that the students, they didn't understand anything because they didn't speak Ukrainian.
Right.
I mean, it was crazy. You cannot force, you want to, first of all, you want to, this region became Ukrainian speaker. Sorry, guy, you need many years for that. You understand?
Yeah,
many
for
years
sure.
For that. I mean, you're speaking million of people here. The rebellion was because that. It was because the nasty coup, and also because the violence imposed by Kiev, the new authorities, and also because this political policy of imposing the Ukrainian language here in this region. And not only that, they wanted to impose their heroes. Their heroes. I heard something about that, but it's a the heroes in they have the mythology, the symbols of the those nationalists are totally different than the symbols of those guys that are here, because here for them the heroes are not those nationalists. You know, Stepan Bandera is a kind of hero for the Ukrainian nationalists. He was a collaborator of Adolf Hitler.
That's right.
You understand me, no? This flag that is red and black, is the flag of Pravi sector or the Reich sector.
Right.
This flag is not is the flag of the UPA, the Ukrainian Insurgent Army, that were a far right militia, a paramilitary militia that in the 40s, when they were collaborating with the Nazis, and they committed, it's considered a genocide because they killed more than 200,000 Polish and Jews. You understand me?
Yep.
In the area of the Volhynia. The Volhynia is the area near Lviv. In the western area part, near Poland.
Yeah, yeah.
They were ethnical cleansing. You know? Those guys are the heroes of the Maidan. The same, this symbol is this Stepan Bandera is the symbol they want to impose here. And for those guys, they were fighting against them. They were fighting. Donetsk was, you know, the people don't know that, but Donetsk was occupied by the Nazis. By the Nazis in the Second World War, occupied and destroyed, totally destroyed the city. The university that I am working, Donetsk National Technical University,
yeah.
This university was occupied as well and destroyed. The teachers, pay attention, the people don't know that, but
they killed them.
Look, they have a museum, it's very important, because this thing that I want to tell you, the Nazis occupied this university, took all the teachers. They put the teacher inside a choir house and they kill the teacher there, shooting them, and later they burn the warehouse. You understand me? With more than 200 teachers. Eh? In the Second World War, those teachers now here have a monument that is beside the Faculty of Economics, because I am teaching economics, and in this building, just beside, there is a kind of cemetery or kind of monument dedicated to the teachers that were fighting and the students as well that were killed by the Nazis of this university. So, sorry, you cannot impose those heroes here, because for them, for these people, those heroes are not heroes, are criminals. You understand me? No?
Yeah,
and for them, the heroes are, well, are the heroes for them is the Red Army. The Red Army, because the Red Army, for them, they liberated them from the Nazis. You understand me? Yeah. And then this is for them, the Red Army, the people think, oh, those guys are Soviet. Sorry, because the people don't know what they are speaking about. I mean, it's true, they have a statue of Lenin. But, you know, the Lenin is just simply, for them, is not really, nobody is communist here. I mean, how many communists are here? Well, the Spaniards. Me, I am a bit Marxist, a bit, not too much. just a little. But there are some Spaniards there, they are really, or many, I saw people from New Zealand or from India, Indian communists, they came here to fight against the fascists. Yeah, the communists are doing all the time these kind of things, no? Or the American, there are some Americans there, it's a very famous one, it's called Texas, he's a communist, American communist, they went to fight against Nazis. Me, I am leftist, but not too much. Let's say that's a bit. No, I mean, it's a cool leftist. Let's say I mean, no, I mean, no. But they want to impose this symbology, the symbology of the far right nationalism here. These icons, and they have other icons here. Lenin for them, well, is an icon as well because they are not communists. They simply respect him. That's it. We respect. Maybe we don't love him, but we respect him. It's the history,
right?
You know, and if somebody want to destroy this statue or Lenin, they are against our history. You understand me? And then this is not because they love Lenin or they read Lenin. Many of them are not reading Lenin. The people here is very oriented. It's very business oriented people, focusing on money.
Right.
I mean, nobody is here socialist or anything. I mean, there are some communists, but they have not any power here. I know some of them, local communists here, they have any power here. You know? They simply, well, those guys are simply, well, simply, those guys want to impose their icons, their flags, and then we never will have the flag of Stepan Bandera in this land. Because their grandfathers were raping our woman, or the grand-grandfathers were here raping our grand-grandmothers. You understand me?
Yeah.
And then, this is the situation. There is also a historical conflict between the Eastern Ukraine and Western Ukraine, historically. They don't like each other. They don't like for that, for historical reasons.
Right.
Because people from the East came here during the Second World War.
Yeah, and also after that, you know, Nikita Khrushchev attended that university, as a matter of fact, and so, you know, it's been historically, aside from, you know, the deep history where it's, you know, was part of, you know, Russia, the greater Russia, during the Soviet times, it was integrated pretty well into the Soviet Union and with Russia.
Huh? That's true. I mean, the fascinating thing is the Ukraine. So how the Soviet Union was positive for Ukraine, Because what does it mean? Territorially, Lenin gave a huge chunk of territory to Ukraine, in terms of Lenin.
Yep.
Stalin took this Lviv, all this area of the Easter, it belonged in that time to Poland. It was integrated into Ukraine. Nikita Khrushchev, I want to tell you, he studied in my university. President Khrushchev.
Yeah,
in the university I am teaching,
yes.
There is a picture of Nikita Khrushchev. Nikita Khrushchev was also gave Crimea
that's
as
right.
a present
that's
to Ukraine because, well, you know, he was Russian, but he studied here in Donetsk. You understand me? And then he feel like I'm okay, no? You know, but in that time, yes, it was totally integrated, no? It was totally, and also, you know, the language, Ukrainian language was developed by a Bolshevik. The people don't know that. I mean, it's
right.
a Bolshevik. I mean, it's a Bolshevik that, in terms of Lenin, and even before Stalin, it was a period of some 10 years of forced Ukrainification. And then they start to teach massively, take the people to teaching Ukrainian here. And the people don't know that.
Right.
The people don't know that.
Right.
But the Bolsheviks were the guys that increased the territory of Ukraine, giving a lot of chunks of territory, and not only that, also they created the grammar, the modern grammar of Ukraine, Ukrainian language. The Ukrainian language in that time, in the time of the Bolsheviks, was anything, was spoken in the village by the peasants. Yeah? And the intellectuals, some intellectuals, radical intellectuals, some of them became Bolsheviks. And they include national things in their how to say program, political program.
Right.
It's fascinating because when you speak about the Bolsheviks, they are not even they don't understand what they're speaking about because it was different tendencies inside and different alliances. And the Bolsheviks here in Ukraine were many of them were students, radicals. They later became socialists and later incorporated some national things, no, national question, the national question inside the and then they look for alliance with the communist, with the social democrats, Bolsheviks from Lenin. No? They created this coalition. They integrated in the same political party. And then the Bolsheviks here, well, in Ukraine is very interesting because one part of those Bolsheviks were very important because they created, no, the modern grammar of Ukrainian. It's very interesting because one of the Bolsheviks that is called Artyom, comrade Artyom, he was from Donetsk and he was against the other Bolsheviks that were ruling in Kiev already. Eh? He was against, and he was a Bolshevik member of the Bolshevik party, or sea, the same party of Lenin and the same in Kiev, but he created other communist party here, different than in Kiev. And he declared himself and his group the independence of Donbass. It was called the Roy Kiroiv. Donetsk Roy Kiroiv is a state that was created in, if I'm not mistaken, 1921, this Artyom is here. The main street of this city is called Artyoma Street, that is dedicated to the figure of this Bolshevik that was wanted the independence. They didn't want to integrate the Donbass inside Ukraine, and he opposed it to Lenin himself. It's fascinating. Here I want to tell you one thing. I want you to understand the psychology. Everything is about symbols. Everything here. Everything is about symbols. If you go to here to Donetsk, you will find three statues. There is a status is Tarashevchenko. Tarashevchenko is the patriot nationalist Ukrainian. They respected this statue. It's here. It's a very nice statue. No? Tarashevchenko is a poet. A Ukrainian poet, he was writing in Ukrainian language. He has his statue here in Kiev. They respect this statue. It's a small statue, anyway, not very big. They respect. This statue is there in the center area. Very nice, clean. They don't do anything against the statue in the center. The second statue is Lenin. Lenin is, is three times bigger. You understand me? Because it's more important for them. You understand me? But pay attention. if it's a surprise, you are coming here, nobody knows anything about that. Even me, that I am lefty, I didn't know anything about Artyom. Right. And later you find, and you find one more bigger than Lenin, that is dedicated to this guy that nobody knows out of the world. I mean, nobody knows in the world who is Artyom. Who is that? And then I told them, who is this guy? Oh, this Artyom. Who is Artyom? This guy has to be more, it's more popular, bigger status than Lenin. You understand? So for them, you know, those guys are looking for the symbology. I mean, Artyom for them is more important than Lenin because the statue is bigger. So, right. And Lenin is more important than Taras Shevchenko, that is a nationalist poet. And the three guys are the history of Donetsk. You understand? Because you know, come on, they have the three main statues here are Artyom, that is this Bolshevik separatist. He didn't want to be part of Ukraine already. He created this Rigoy Donetsk. It's a very short time. It looks on this republic. It lasted only 2 years. Okay, in times because Lenin just simply dissolved the forced to the dissolution in not very good way. Eh? Because it was also some fighting here. Eh? I heard about. And later the second statue is Lenin. Eh? It's also big. Eh? And the third is this dedicated to this poet, is a symbol of the Ukrainian nationalists. The three statues are here in the same street, in the Artyom. Well, everything is about symbols here. I mean, it's fascinating, all the things I am telling you. But it's the truth, really. I can prove that. Eh? I mean, it's like the separatism in Donbass, well, is not something new. It's not something created by Putin. Right. Already existed here.
Right.
Since the beginning of the creation of Ukraine, you understand?
Right.
Because when the Russian Empire collapsed, many republics and small republics appeared. One of them was Lithuania in 2001. Other one, Latvia in 2001. In 1921. The second, Latvia and Estonia. Small republics appeared, Poland as well. I mean, it's to appear. Some of them were successful. Some of those republics or states after the collapse, no, of the Russian Empire because the war. Some of them were successful. They maintained the independence. Another like this Rigoy Republic, no, that here in the Donbass Basin, no, didn't last because it was dissolved by the Bolsheviks, and not in a very the Bolsheviks of St. Petersburg, of Leningrad, Moscow. They forced those Bolsheviks here to close the business. No, they say no, sure, you will be integrated there. But they didn't want. It's amazing because both of them were Bolsheviks, members of the same way of thinking. I mean, socialists and so on. But they were fighting already against the other Bolsheviks from Kiev. You know, it's amazing. The Bolsheviks from Kiev were fighting against the Bolsheviks from Donetsk. You already find the same history. You understand me? Yeah. And now the fascinating thing, I want to tell you one thing. Here, the people here, the difference between a guy from Donetsk and a person, a guy from Kiev, there's not any difference. They're the same thing. They're exactly the same people. I mean, the same way of thinking, the same. The only thing is the same veil, the symbols. And right. A bit the language. But not too much. The language in Kiev, everybody speak Russian as well.
Right.
I mean, it's a question of symbology, history. I don't want your hero. I don't like your hero. This is not a hero. This is a criminal. And the other side consider the same. No, you are criminals. And that's it. I mean, because there is not, I mean, are the same people fighting with different symbols. No? This is my impression of all this conflict. I think it has been interesting, all this talk.
Yeah, for most you. Definitely. Let me ask you, what's happening now? We're getting some reports that the shelling has begun again and that there's military action.
Well, what's happening now? Well, you know, last week started again. I arrived here in July 2016. Well, it was some shootings, no, but it was very far. Some mortars and so on, some killing. That is all, you know. I am living in the center of Donetsk, in Artyom Avenue. Here, I arrived here. What is the war? There's no war here. I mean, you look like a funny people, but a funny city. I mean, when I arrived here, very hot. You know, very beautiful, very hot. People was already in holidays. Well, I enjoy my time, you know, enjoy going to cafes, banana cafe, you know, always I am there in banana cafe, banana club. you find me, you know, all that I am there, you know, because it's my favorite. Oh, come on, banana cafe, one day you come to Donetsk, I recommend you. Beautiful, beautiful. They have a nice terrace in summertime. Oh, I spend my time there, you know, drinking beer, cheap, very cheap beer, you know. Here is everything cheap. And then, the war was far. Sometimes, well, you see in the television, the local television, there's war in Gorlivka. All the time in Gorlivka, this, well, bombing Gorlivka, oh, terrible. You know, people very angry because they were bombing Gorlivka. Or they are bombing the Spartak. Spartak is a town that has been totally destroyed. All the time bombing Spartak. But well, I am not living in Spartak, I am living here in the center. And here, well, the center was quite good, I mean, as I know, you can find all the services here, everything working, nice, and a beautiful area, also have a river, beautiful, also a lake. I was missing Lithuania anyway, especially missing my girlfriend, because I left my girlfriend there in Lithuania. It has been terrible for me, no? Uh-huh. How to say. And then my last girlfriend, how to say, no? But later, the last week, started to bombing massively the center, even the center of the city, the first time I saw that. What if I started with using Tosca? Tosca U, that is ballistic missiles. Oof. Ballistic missiles that they can even have a nuclear head. I mean, they are not using nuclear head, but those ballistic missiles, you can put inside a small quantity of. I don't know, I'm not an expert on that, but it's able, no? Those ballistic missiles are targeting markets. In a market, many people were killed, apartments, blocks of apartments destroyed with many people killed, school destroyed, fortunately it was not children. Also using Uragans is medium range, also ballistic missile. Many Uragans were shelled, they were shelling with that, no, in all the center of Donetsk, hitting here, first time, Artyom Avenue, where I am living. One of the Tosca was intercepted by the defense, the artillery, they have here, with rockets, they have rockets, they have grads by the DNR Republic, the Donetsk People Republic Army. And this rocket, this is Huk, no, this Tosca U, just explode in the air. Boom! And then, you know, the explosion was so huge that arrived, even my building, you know, was moving, the windows, you know, stop me. I am living just beside the cathedral. And then, well, during those of the week, was a huge offensive. All that night was terrible. No water in all the city, was because they were hitting the supply of that area, reservation area of water. You know? They attacked that, was stopped. And also the electricity, half of the city without electricity, all the city without water, without water. Me, I am, thank God, I am living in the center, and all the time is renovated the center first than the rest, you understand me? Because here are living also the authorities. Yeah. And living here in the center still is safer than the other way. The water came back, I have water, finally, you know, I can take a shower, no? That for me is very important, really, because, you know, I am not a warrior. I never took a weapon in my life. You know, I don't want to take weapons. You know, I am against the war. I am totally against the war.
Right.
But you know, I am not used to this atmosphere of war. A lot of tanks here and there, you know. I saw a lot of trucks. Now, the thing is that Chakarchenko, the leader of the Donetsk National, the Donetsk People Republic, called for the general mobilization of the reservists. They have the reservists. I mean, people are trained, but are not in the army, but they are forced to go to defense the city. And also he called it the Cossacks, the Don Cossacks. I know your audience, you don't know what I speak about, but in all this area, it's called it the Don. There is the river Don. Donbass means the lower Don. Right. The Don is a fascinating river, it's a huge river that is it's a kind of god in the mythology, you know, in the old mythology, Slav mythology.
Right.
And then they are living there, Cossacks, they are free men. The free men is a kind of, it's like the Apaches or the Sioux.
Right.
It's Slavic Sioux, you know. Those guys are autonomous. What does it mean? They are not really ruled by nobody. Even in Russia, Putin, even in times of the Stalin, the Cossacks were autonomous. It's a kind of autonomous republic inside, with their own army and with their own laws and with their own. It's a clan. It's a tribe. Are tribes. It's a tribe of. It's like the Apaches. I mean, they don't even speak really. They speak like Russian, but it's not exactly a Russian. It's a very, very curious people. I mean, and then those guys, they have their own costumes, their own laws. You know what I mean? And it's a clan. It's based on the idea of the clans. The clans, different clans. No, they gather like the elderly. You know, the elderly. Who is ruling the Cossacks? The elderly. The elderly, the a council of elders, no, they gather, I know, in an assembly, and they like the Apaches, or they are doing, or the Sioux, no, these kind of things, and then the Zakarchenko, here there are no Cossacks, no, but the Cossacks are, there are some Cossacks, no, living here and so on, but he called the Cossacks of Don, the Don Cossacks, that is amazing, those guys are amazing because they have an army of 100,000 militiamen, Cossacks, trained. Already, the Cossacks are historically are warriors. It's amazing. I mean, those Cossacks can arrive to till Brussels. Eh? I mean, believe me. Those guys they don't have fear. They are not like they don't need anything. Those guys, you give them a Kalashnikov and they arrive to Brussels. No? Well. Believe me. Eh? Those guys, we are waiting the because they are going to arrive this week. The Cossacks, I mean, they are now gathering the all everything because they are coming here with everything, including the horses. Some horses as well because they like, you know, showing that they are Cossacks. You understand me? No? I mean, they have horses just for parading, no, not for fighting anymore. But right. the Cossacks are using even knives, some knives and so on. I tell you, they are Cossacks, Cossacks of Don. That the Cossacks of Don are fascinating because they are not crossing the border, Russian border, in a normal way. I mean, you are a citizen from Russia or whatever, or American, you have to go to cross the border, no, with a visa. No, you have to show your passport. Those guys don't need passports. They are Cossacks. And then there are areas in the border that are porous, there's a river, and they are allowed, historically, yeah, by everybody allows them to cross that. And they are moving freely because they are free men. It's very difficult to understand for me in Spanish.
Right.
Those guys are moving in all the Don. The Don area is in between Ukraine and Russia. You understand
right,
me?
Right.
And then they are moving freely. I am free men, and then they are nomadic people. they're really nomadic people.
Yep.
Many they are here. The capital of the Cossacks is in Lugansk, the other separatist area.
Right.
The Lugansk. I never have been in Lugansk, eh? But the Cossacks have a permanent presence. The Cossack war there. It explains also somehow that they are in better situation. I mean, militarily than here, I have to say, because they have Cossacks around. You know what I mean? Here the Cossacks they are not from here. No? They are moving. No, I mean, you call them and they come. No? But it takes some time. No, they are coming this week, and the people are waiting for them because they will be really. They can change all the panorama, political, military panorama. They can arrive here 10,000 or 20,000 Cossacks, no? With all the everything, no? I mean, with weapons and so on. And it will be a boss. The defense of Donetsk will be totally controlled. The Putin can do one thing. Putin doesn't need send an army here. For what? For what he doesn't mean? He can open the border. That the border is something that he did already,
right.
Past. In the past, he doesn't send an army. He simply opened the border and leave that citizen from Russia, or the worst thing is the Chechenians come here. The Chechenian hate personally. I mean, the Chechenian have a personal hate against the Ukrainians. You understand me? And they want to come here to kill Ukrainians. It's historically, because the war. It was a war there, and historically those guys hit the fascists. And then the Chechenians, there are 100,000 of Chechenians waiting for that. That say, open the border and we cross. Putin are stopping the Chechenians because there are a lot of volunteers from Chechenia, and pay attention. Yakutia. The people don't know anything about what the fucking thing is Yakutia. Those guys are kind of Mongols. Mongols.
Right.
Mongols. Mongols from Yakutia. I meet here some of them. The Mongols of Yakutia have like a 2 meters, you know, guys? 2 meters men. with 2 meters with the Mongol, you know, the eyes like Mongols. And they are wearing, they are having knife, you know. Those guys are coming here to kill fascists. There are thousands of Mongols of Yakutia waiting for coming here. And also, Putin and Trump, they are not part of the army. They are not part of the state structure. Just simply, he opened the border and those guys are coming. Because for revenge. They want revenge. Revenge against the Nazis and what they did in the past. Pay attention. You are speaking about societies where the clan still is very important. And the family, the concept of family. You killed my grandfather. The Nazis killed my grandfather. Me, I want to revenge now against you. I had the chance to revenge my grandfather. You understand me? The same happened with the Spanish. The Spanish here, more or less, we are doing the same. We came here because Spain, the Spanish Republic, was destroyed by the fascists with the support of Adolf Hitler. So all the Spanish here are leftists, Republicans, with the flag, no pasarán. We are here to fight. So how, in revenge? What happened in the Spanish Republic? You know, the ideology is there. There's a symbolic factor. The symbolic factor that explains all the war here. A question of symbols and the historical factors. If Putin opened the border, he doesn't. This is a bullshit. Why he needs to send troops? If Putin sent troops here, Kiev fall in 1 week.
Right.
That's in right. 1 week, he doesn't need it, but you know, why it's ridiculous. CNN and BBC, those guys are ridiculous. Look what Putin is doing in Syria. He can arrive in Kiev in 2 weeks. In 1 week, he's taking Kiev. He's freeing right. Kiev of retards. That's you understand
right.
me?
Yep.
Or retards. He is not going to do that. Of course not. He doesn't need to do that. Just simply, right now, the border is porous. Porous means the Cossacks, for some reason, are able to move freely from there. And the Cossacks, they are not even, what the fucking thing are the Cossacks? They are Russians. No, they are Cossacks. They are not even, that's autonomous people. They have a special law and you cannot consider, they are not Russian. They are people that were, it's like the Sioux. What do you consider the Sioux Americans?
Right.
Or Apaches.
Right.
They are Americans, they are Apaches or not. Well, it's difficult to say. They are Apaches, no? But the same with the Cossacks. The Cossacks are not Russian, they are Cossacks. You understand me? And then the people don't understand that this kind of familiar or kind of clans or tribal thing is here. The Chechenians, if Putin opened the border, simply allow the Chechenians to enter here, thousands of Chechenians are going to come here. And the Chechenian is one of the, it's like a Doberman. You know, the Dobermans. Thousands of Dobermans here. No? I mean, those guys don't have any kind of fear. They don't fear anything. You take a machete, those guys with machete with a kind of sword. And then, believe me, the Chechenians arrive to Brussels. You know?
Yeah.
Those guys, believe me. I mean, you leave them. You know, I saw here some of them. Some Chechenians. No? There are a few because later were moved again to. They were kicked out from here because they create a lot of problems. I mean, you know the problem that the authorities here already had problems with the Chechenians and with the Cossacks because they came in the past when Putin opened the border to volunteers. Not because he's in the army. Just simply he opened the border. And thousands of Chechenians are right here. And also Cossacks and from Yakutia. The problem of those guys are later, they stay here and they generate problems. The Cossacks here, they had problems with the authorities. They occupied a building there, a hotel. They trench in the hotel, like a trench, you know, and start to shoot against the, I guess, Sakharchenko troops, you know, because they are not really controlled by nobody, you know, even Putin don't control them. I mean, those guys are working in another way. Yeah. They are drinking a lot. I mean, the Cossacks are people, are very, very brave men, very brave. The Chechens are very brave men, but without any discipline and big chaotic stuff. Very good fighters, but later they are not able to live in a civilized way. I mean, you cannot live here. The Cossacks here living in, thousands of Cossacks here in Donetsk, well, it's good for a while, but not for being here, because you know, my friends say, oh, Cossacks are very cool, but they are not able to adapt to the civilian, to the this kind of civilization. They are not nomadic people as well, you understand me?
Right.
Very brave. The people respect them, but also fear them. Even here, you understand me? I understood Cossacks.
Right. They're not going to settle down and do a 9-to-5.
We call them because we don't have other chance. I mean, or them, you have or the Cossacks or the Nazis. Well, let's call the Cossacks, you know, because the Cossacks are more or less, it's like, you can imagine, you know, you have the Apaches there and they say, you know, well, let's call the Apache to help us, no? I mean,
yeah,
you
right.
Because you need them. You need them just simply for something. And later you say, you know, go to your reservation, no?
Right.
Here they say, hey, guys, you did a very good job. Just please come back and then, you know, push them. You have to push a bit because later they don't want to come back, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah.
That's the situation that is happening here. We hope that there is an alert, general alert, state of war now.
Right.
And we are waiting. It looks like the city can be attacked today, tonight, already, whatever. I don't know. It can be now or tomorrow. This is the had to be because the Cossacks will arrive here. If the Cossacks arrive here in this week, the other guys will never enter Donetsk. Will never. Never. It's impossible. If they arrive here, the Cossacks militia, then Donetsk, the Poroshenko will never take Donetsk. It's impossible. With those guys, it's impossible because already the authorities here, the Donetsk army is strong, but with the reinforce of 10,000 Cossacks, no, well, I mean, how to say, the situation will be improved quite a lot. No?
Well, be safe. I know.
All the things tomorrow I started to teach. I had to teach something. No?
No. It's good. I'm going to send you later on today. I'm going to send you the raw interview, the whole piece.
Okay.
And then I have to.
It will be wonderful for me, Dom, because later I will use this program as well in my network. Okay,
yeah,
Dom.
Yeah,
for me,
yeah.
It has been very interesting. What is the name of your radio or your project?
The it's a newscast called CPR News. It stands for Community Progressive Radio. And
CPR. No, it's from New York. From New York.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Wonderful. So, CPR Radio from New York. You know, thank you.
That's right.
Look, I want to tell you, don't, that I told you what I know, honestly, and what I saw, and what I think.
Yeah.
That is not, I don't have any agenda, nobody pay me, you know?
Yeah, right.
I am like a Cossack. I am a Cossack of internet.
An academic Cossack, yeah, right.
Yeah. I am a Cossack of Facebook.
That's
a free man. The free man that I'm moving here and there. You understand me? And then, well, I go here. I am telling you what I am thinking and what I see and all this historic thing that background that I experienced you some histories about the history. But it's true because I read that. I know it's like this. I mean, it's not like for bullshitting. You have CNN. You understand me?
Yeah. Right. That's all of it. We got lots of bullshit here for sure.
Or BBC, you know, I tell you the truth. I mean,
that's right.
So, well, thank you. It has been very, for me, it's an honor, no? And thank you. Just send me that because it's very important for us, especially for moral, you know, because later this report, this radio program, I will send to all my students, all my friends here in Donetsk, you know?
Yeah. What I'm going to do is this.
They will feel that they are not alone.
Good. What I'm going to do is this. Today I'm going to send you the raw, you know, the whole thing unedited. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut it into like two or three newscasts because the newscast is only 30 minutes and I have to do headlines.
Okay, wonderful. I'll send you those too.
Yes, I will.
The final result.
Yeah, and I'll text it to you on Facebook.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, my brother.
You look a very good professional.
Thank you.